This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. We're back. This is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we've got callers lined up. We've got James in Baltimore City first, and Andy, who wants to talk about crabs, and Charlie in Glen Burnie. So stay tuned, everybody. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, Al. Alan, I'm calling to talk about the driver's license and the Social Security when I'm fishing.
Right.
Really, last year I stopped fishing because of the Social Security.
Right.
Because the thing about it, if I give them my driver's license, I think that's enough information for them.
You would think, wouldn't you?
And the thing about it, because some years ago, what Maryland was doing, like, you know, when you go to get your driver's license, what they was doing, they take the old driver's license. Because a few times I asked them back for my driver's license. And what they was doing is taking the old driver's license and selling it in bulk to places like New York and so on and whatnot. That's the reason why you're having so much junk mail coming to you. That's what Maryland was doing. So right now, you don't own a driver's license. I don't own a driver's license. We rent our driver's license because when you go back to renew those driver's license, you have to give them the old driver's license. And the thing about it, if you don't give them the old driver's license, they would not issue you a new driver's license.
So you're saying that they were sold in bulk.
Yeah, they were sold in
to
bulk.
Marketing companies.
Right, that's what they was doing. And I see it on 60 Minutes. It was some years ago. I saw it on 60 Minutes.
Okay. I have no way to dispute what you're saying there, James. I don't know the answer, but it sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
So. But you gave up fishing because you won't tell them your Social Security number. Is that correct?
Right. That's right. I don't need to.
You know what, James?
Yeah.
They already know.
Yeah.
They already know. And it's a very tiny way to protest. But do you feel better since you've given up fishing?
Yeah, I feel better. I mean, I like fishing, all right. But the thing about it, I'm not going to give them too much. They got enough information on you now, so you don't got. You shouldn't.
So that's your line. That's your line in the sand. Is you having to give up your Social Security number when you get your fishing or hunting license?
Yeah.
That's it. So you would rather keep that information as a matter of principle than enjoy something that you've enjoyed all your life.
Yeah. And the thing about it, if a lot of folks would do that. Everything. You know, they want your Social Security number for everything. And the thing about it, David, is they tell you, you're not supposed to give it up for, I mean, those simple things like that.
I know. I understand. It's not supposed to be a form of ID. It's not right. And I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%. Look, I got a call yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I have a mortgage with a certain company, and I refinanced my mortgage at a great rate. Which I thought was a smart thing to do. So I got a call on my cell phone, which is the number I gave him, from an 800 number.
That was up again.
And
that would have ticked me off again.
No, wait a minute. I missed the call. So I called the number back.
Mm.
And whoever it was that answered the phone, and I don't know who it was, but they identified who they were. And I said, I just received a call from this company. And she said, what's your social? I said, guess what? I'm not giving you my social security number over a cell phone. I said, check it by name. And she was, in seconds, able to check it by my name and
right.
Tell me what the purpose of the call was.
Right.
That is a matter of convenience to somebody to just be able to punch in a bunch of numbers, and it's become meaningless in our society. It's become meaningless to young people. I'll guarantee you there, James, that anybody under the age of 30, if they want a fishing license, they'll whip out the Social Security card and let the clerk take a picture of it.
That's right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Oh, hold on. Let me get a picture of that with my cell phone.
Right.
You know, people, they don't understand. They do not understand. So, but I applaud you for your stand. I do. I'm sorry you've quit fishing, but I applaud you for your stand.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I could buy enough fish to eat.
All right, James. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye. There we go. That's kind of what it's not always about. Eating. Andy?
Hey, good morning, Alan.
How are you?
Talk about fishing or politics?
Whatever you want to talk about.
I've got all these...
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal, though, Andy. The outdoors and politics are so interwoven now. It's impossible to talk about one without the other.
We've got
bills advancing in the General Assembly about Sunday hunting. We've got fishing bills in there, some really big fishing bills in there, both recreational and commercial. We've got all kinds of entertain about 1,000 or 2,000 bills every year, and some of them are important, and some of them are not. And, you know, some of the important ones are advancing, including this highly restrictive gun bill for the governor. There's a little bit of hope out there from what I'm hearing, but we'll see what happens in the end.
Well, one of your associates, Pat McDonough, hit the nail on the head. He went to a gun show and he reported on his show, and if I'm not mistaken, he said there's 20 million gun owners and none of them are registered to vote. And that kind of, you know, sums little things up there, just like you said.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And you know what? You talk to these guys on the range, and they piss and moan about everything that goes on in the government, and you say, well, did you write a letter? No. Did you call your congressman? No. Did you do this? Did you do that? No. That doesn't interest me. That's for somebody else. We have somebody in our club that does that. Really? Okay.
The one representative that I don't know whether he was on your show or another one, he called in. He had, I don't know, hundreds of emails and everything, and 35% of the people were not registered voters.
Well, I've brought that up. I brought that up in the past. Yes, that
did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason I called you, I finally got these crab pictures together.
Good.
And some of them were unusual. I was in my antique boat in Marski Creek, crabbing and you know, seagulls come around when you're using chicken necks. I was using the rings.
Yeah.
And this seagull landed on the bow of the boat and stayed with me through three runs.
Wow.
And then there was a sailboat in front of us, and he turned around and looked at me like he was getting ready to leave and wanted something to eat. So I have pictures of that, and I guess if you tried to get something like that, you'd never do it.
Right.
You know, then I've got pictures of a nice display of crabs. So
let's,
do they have to be in any format or just
no? Just send them to me. You got them on? You got them digital?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. Huh?
You know, what I was going to do is I was going to send you them with a story and all, and then you can sort of pick out what ones you want to use.
That's perfect. I like it.
And it's Alan at Ellis.
No. Ellis, my last name. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com.
E-L-L-I-S.
E-L-L-I-S at ellisoutdoors.com.
All righty.
Look forward to it, man.
Getting back to this political thing. I just went fishing. I got a 12-pound Canadian salmon and a 3-pound Atlantic char. So Charles can tell you all about Atlantic char.
Yep, probably.
They come from Iceland.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, and you went fishing. What market were you at?
Yeah, I just got down at Jessup.
All right, I'll talk to you later. See you, buddy.
It's amazing. It's amazing the amount of fish that come in.
That's true. That's true.
You know, and go out. It's amazing. They're having trouble getting fish.
I know. They're having trouble getting crabs. The weather's crazy around the world.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, not telling you how to run your show, but the magic question, just like you said, when all these guys call in and say, "Sir, if I may ask you kindly, did you vote
Oh, I thought about that during the break. If I should ask somebody at the register to vote, it's really a personal thing. It's none of my business. But I put the challenge out there in the last hour. If anybody's not registered to vote, call me up and tell me why. What the reasoning is.
Well, I can understand people are just getting totally frustrated, and you know, like they say, Annapolis sort of does.
Yeah.
They want to do, but if you don't stand up, they're just going to keep steamrolling over you.
Well, yeah, Tenement Square's, you know, here. So, all right, brother. Thanks, Andy.
Take care.
Hey, you will send me that email this week?
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm going to. They were computer, and I couldn't get them out, and then finally I got them out, and I'll send it to you this week.
Okay, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
Alan.
Thanks. Bye-bye. There goes Andy. Charlie in Glen Burnie. Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for the wait.
Good morning.
How are you?
You have a very interesting program every week.
Diverse, I'll say that.
My question is, the sturgeon been completely exterminated in Chesapeake Bay?
No. They are rare, but they have been, now they have been declared, I believe, endangered. And that puts a whole new... that puts a whole new spin on their status. We have Atlantic sturgeon in the hatchery in southern Maryland. We have a tank there. There are three or four in there that are about 7 or 8 years old, maybe 9 or 10 now. And these fish are in excess of 6, 7, 8 feet. Unfortunately, sturgeon, Atlantic sturgeon, do not breed until they are about 15 years old. We also have a large stock of... I guess they would call them fingerlings. They're about a foot or 15 inches long in a tank in our hatcheries there. But the future of those sturgeon is up in the air because of the status right now. So I haven't gotten an update from the hatchery guys, and I might, because of this show, I might get one from fisheries. But we are on the forefront of trying to breed and reintroduce Atlantic sturgeon into the Chesapeake Bay. But occasionally they'll catch one in a net, a pound net or something like that, and you know, you get reports of it. But the watermen are most conscious of it. There's no giant ones out there anymore, but that's the answer. The best of my knowledge, that's the answer, that they are now declared an endangered or threatened species, and it's jeopardized our efforts to reintroduce them.
Okay, well, thank you.
Does that help?
Yep. Answer my question.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, here we got a story out of Frederick, Maryland. Here's this kid. He's driving along. His name is Justin Saracini. He's driving along in his driving school car from with his instructor. And behind him is a guy who's a hunter. The guy's name is David Dukic, if I said that correctly. So last Thursday, Mr. Dukic was driving along behind this driving school car, Greg's driving school. And he saw two tom turkeys begin to peck and claw the driving school car that was in front of him. So he was on a Possum Town Pike, which is a pretty populated area over there by let's see, what's on that? What's in that area? Hood's over that area, Hood College, and no, there's a couple. I mean, it's a very populated area, a lot of shopping areas. But anyway, Mr. Dukic was driving on a Possum Town Pike near Sunday's Lane. He saw two tom turkeys begin to peck and claw a stopped Greg's driving school car in front of him. One bird jumped on the car's hood and used his spurs and beak to scratch and strike at the windshield. The feathered creatures then circled the car, and as it slowly moved ahead, the birds chased it. And then I pulled forward, and as soon as they saw me, they left the other car go and came after me. And the wild birds recently chased several members of the Faith United Church of Christ on a Possum Town Pike, prompting the church to issue a notice in its newsletter to be wary of the wild turkeys. The pastor, Katie Pettick, saw the wild birds chase several church members who had to run inside the church. We just saw it as a bizarre and funny thing, just as long as nobody got hurt. Now, Thursday's experience with the birds was unforgettable for the student driver, Justin Saraceni, 21. And Justin is quoted as saying, I'd never really seen turkeys up that close before. I didn't know what they were. I was nervous. I just thought they were some kind of bird. It was pretty wild. I was like, what do I do? I didn't want to just go because I didn't want to run over the turkeys. Saraceni panicked a little, but he survived, driving teacher Alina Acosta said. He didn't even know what it was. I guess unless they're plucked and frozen, they don't know. I'll let Alina Acosta say that. The encounter made for a great story for his grandparents. They were like, what? Attacked by turkeys? And I said, yeah, it certainly is an unforgettable experience. In her 8 years of teaching driving on a Possum Town Pike, Acosta had never been before confronted by turkeys. I was afraid they were going to puncture a tire and we would be stuck and we couldn't get out of the car, she said. Saraceni did not want another turkey experience when he returned to driving class on Friday, so Acosta scheduled a lesson in parallel parking. Dookie said, see, isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. There's elements of the story that are just, I'm not even going to comment on. Dookie said he had seen wild turkeys attack other birds and deer before, even a jogger, but he never saw them damage a car. And he had seen domesticated turkeys attack people, but not wild birds. The pecking left a few scratches on both cars, but Dookie said the bird's behavior was hilarious. When you saw it, you couldn't help but laugh. He asked why he didn't take pictures. He was laughing so hard he didn't think about it. Several Faith United members were cooking turkeys in the kitchen recently for a community supper when they saw a group of large turkeys in the churchyard. I didn't know if it was divine interaction that they showed up, but if they were there to rescue their friends. But they were chest bumping against each other and running around. Deborah Wilcox said she tried to get as close as possible to take pictures using her cell phone. I was thinking if I got around a tree, they wouldn't see me, but I underestimated how intelligent they are. As soon as they heard my camera click, they slowly turned their head and began to run toward me. If that could only happen in turkey season, that would be great. It was exciting but pretty scary. I hadn't run that fast in years. The turkeys were beautiful, Wilcox said. They looked like Dr. Seuss characters with multicolored red, blue, and white heads. But if they're willing to attack a car like that, imagine what they would do to a human. Explaining that to people in the emergency room. But our church motto is, everyone is welcome, turkeys included. And on it goes, talks about turkey behavior. If you'd like to hear the rest, just call and ask. But I thought it was a pretty good story, and I thank our social media coordinator Laura for sending me that from the Frederick News Post. That just happened last week. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We got to take a little break, and I got to tell you about strut and rut archery. You know, turkeys strut and whitetails rut. Talking about turkeys, right? Strut and rut archery has expanded and opened a new location in Elkton, Maryland. Strut and rut archery is open right now, of course, but on Saturday, April 16th, it's the grand opening of the new Strut and Rut Archery. Jeff and Mary Adkins, it's an open house too, are down-to-earth people who are willing to share their knowledge and open their store to you. If bow hunting is your passion, you need to get to know Strut and Rut. With a wide selection of compound bows and crossbows from Matthews, Mission, Elite, Diamond, and all the accessories, you'll find the products and services you need for success. The Techno Hunt video target range allows you to shoot your equipment for off-season practice and leagues. Their expert pro staff technicians can tune your bow or set up a new one for you, for your spouse, or even your kids. Strut and Rut offers fishing tackle and crabbing gear, too. On April 6th, stop by for the grand opening and open house in their new 4,000-square-foot facility right off Route 40 on Maloney Road in Elkton across from Staples. Product representatives and pro staff will answer questions and conduct product demonstrations. Free refreshments, too. Visit the website, strutandrutarchery.com, for online purchasing. Your new gear can be shipped directly to you. For business hours, please visit strutandrutarchery.com or call 410-885-5058. That's 410-885-5058. Now, if you hunt, you fish, or go crabbing, get to know Strut and Rut. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you are in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. So stop by your local Fish and Citation Center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, I just got an email from Bobby Hawkins. Bobby Hawkins, as you might have just heard, is with Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Today, we will be taking our brand-new state-of-the-art equipment to spray a 3,500-square-foot loading dock for one of our very satisfied customers. We'll be spraying XS350. It's one of the strongest of many products we sell. New equipment will help us satisfy all the protective coating needs of our customers. So here's a little add-on for the folks at Linex, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, from Bobby Hawkins there. And, you know, they do go out and they do floor coatings and they do on-site type of things, fuel tanks and anything that needs a protective coating. But I just got this email and thought I'd like to share it with you right after their commercial.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. The internet is responsible for a lot of instant celebrities, from Korean rappers to scowling teenage gymnasts. And now some teachers are getting a turn in the cyberspace spotlight. The web's most popular instructors and professors get recognized at restaurants and on city buses, and some are being sought for potentially lucrative speaker circuits. Non-university instructors who create skill-based classes draw direct revenue from the popularity of their classes, plus the perks of personal branding and promotion. Many universities are signing up with websites that stream their professors' lectures. One of the fastest-growing categories of videos on YouTube are toots. That's short for tutorials. While some cutting-edge instructors began posting their lectures online nearly two decades ago, today's platforms provide a sleek experience. Students can find well-produced content instead of video coming from a single camera in the back of a dark lecture hall. I'm Marcy Norton with the Wall Street Journal.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Making a living the old hard way, taking and giving my day.
You'll be hearing that. You'll be hearing that little song a lot here in the next couple months. We'll be talking about striped bass, and I've been invited on a striped bass trip on the flats on the big spawning stripers, and I tried to politely decline because I'm not a big believer in that season. I'm adamantly opposed to that catch and release season on the flats, to be honest with you. And look, if you want to go catch a big old spawning striped bass, that's a great opportunity. Just not for me. I don't believe in it. And, you know, we have the trophy season coming up soon enough, and that's good enough for me. So, there you go. A couple of interesting emails during that little lengthy break, and we invite you to join us here on the radio on WCBM 680. That's our phone number, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. We're taking your calls on fishing, hunting, the great outdoors, and anything you'd like to share. Let's talk to Charles in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was devastated listening to Savage at night with all the slaughter of the elephants in which they butchered them so badly in Africa. And I was in Africa when they killed about 1,500 elephants just for the purpose of the elephants were eating all the crops of the people, so they decided to thin them out. And I thought that was awfully cruel. And,
well, Charles, I got to tell you something. Elephants in Africa, depending on where you are, and you already know this, I'm sure, in some areas are overpopulated. The population is out of control, like we have certain areas here in Maryland where the white-tailed deer population is out of control. And the only method is by culling them. And what has happened in these areas where the poachers are so rampant and killing elephants for their tusks, for their ivory, what's happening is that the young bull elephants are growing up with no role models, no one to teach them proper elephant behavior. And they're becoming rogue animals, like a bunch of gangs, like teenagers. And they become wild and independent, and they trample villages and they hurt people. And those are the types of elephants right now that are on the hit list in Africa, because all the mature elephants, or not all, but a number of the mature elephants in certain areas have been killed for their ivory. And it's not hunters that are doing this, as you know.
It's unfortunate the way they're killing them. That's the problem, because the Africans will kill an elephant for his feet, and they put an up, make an umbrella stand out of it.
I understand that, yes.
And I was in Chicago for a year, and a group of us went down to the slaughter yards.
Yes.
You don't know Chicago when the when in the summertime, that odor would come up through the city, and everything would smell like the slaughter yard.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I can tell you, Charles, that if a hunter, a legitimate hunter, has booked a trip to kill an elephant, the arrangements are already made that when a hunter kills an elephant, that every scrap of meat is used to feed the local village.
Oh, yes.
The hunter
pygmies there, they would kill an elephant from underneath.
Yes.
They would crawl underneath of them and catch them in the abdominal area.
Yeah. Well, you can go, there's a soft spot there. You can go right up into the rib cage, into the heart. But when a hunter in Africa, you understand, hunters are the first conservationists. But when hunters come to Africa specifically to hunt elephants, it's a tremendous amount of money to book an elephant hunt. Same way with a lion, same way with a Cape buffalo, same way with a leopard. I mean, a lion hunt, to kill a male lion, you're looking at somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000.
But
I don't know if you knew that or not.
They're killing them. I mean, it's so inhumane.
Yeah, well, you're talking about people who are poachers. You're not talking about people who are legitimate hunters. You're talking about scofflaws and criminals that are doing this.
Yes.
So I always want to make that distinction that we're not talking about hunters. We're talking about poachers and people who are doing it illegally. And yes, it is a shame. It's a shame to kill an elephant just for its ivory. It's a shame to kill an elephant just for its feet. It's a shame to kill a rhinoceros for its horn. But hunters, some hunters are trophy hunters, and they kill the surplus animals. They take the large, mature animals, most of the time passed their breeding age, and allow the younger ones to continue to grow and thrive so that the herd continues to grow and thrive. It's a surplus harvest, so to speak. I just want for our listeners, Charles, to draw a distinction between a legitimate hunter and a poacher.
And you're such a blessing to the hunting community.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Thank you so much.
Charles, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Alice in Catonville. Catonville, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting some sleep, Brent, finally.
Good for you. Yay. Good for you.
I'm calling because I hit a couple of deer a few years ago.
Yep.
And I was looking at statistics, and
yep.
I found out that the deer population in Maryland was so low that Maryland hunters had to go to Pennsylvania to find deer to hunt.
How long ago was that?
That was in the 30s.
Oh, yes, in the 30s. There were very, 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 very small amounts of deer. I think our first deer season in Maryland in the 30s was actually out in western Maryland. I think they killed 11 animals.
Well, you know, I've got to think that a long time ago, there were probably plenty of deer in Maryland because they're here now. But what I'm thinking, and I wanted you to confirm this, I'm putting two and two together here, and tell me if I get four. I'm wondering if the reason why there were so few deer is because of the Depression and... were people hungry?
Well, there was a lot of in the late 18th or late 19th century, there was a lot of market hunting. And if you've ever read anything about Maryland, one tremendous book that you should get if you have any interest at all is 44 Years in the Life of a Hunter. And it's by Meshack Browning, who prowled the woods of western Maryland and West Virginia and that area, mountainous area in western Maryland. And he talks about his adventures of killing bears. And one of the most fun things that he did was to go into their dens in the wintertime and confront them in the dens.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Well, because that's what he liked to do.
He thought that was fun.
Yeah, he thought that was a lot of fun, and he did hunt a lot of deer out in that area, and then he became a market hunter and started out bringing, truckloads and trainloads of deer meat to Baltimore to sell. But to answer your question, yeah, the market hunting is what pretty much wiped out the deer herd, the elk herd, the wild turkey population. Of course, everybody knows the story of the American bison, the pronghorn antelope. And all these animals have been, by believe it or not, by sport hunters, who were the first conservationists, and through different acts of Congress, particularly under the leadership of Teddy Roosevelt, who was a very avid hunter, around a worldwide hunter, African
right.
and Western
right.
hunter, brought Washington in 1908 into the 20th century with wildlife conservation and things like that. And what's happened in Maryland, that population started to grow, we were able to see more and more deer coming in, and the actual season started in western Maryland, Garrett County, and then worked its way west. The first deer wasn't actually observed on Maryland's eastern shore until the mid to late 40s. And the story goes that there was an African-American gentleman plowing one of the fields in Kent County, and he saw a white-tailed deer swimming across Chesapeake Bay, step up on the beach, shake itself, and go into the woods.
Huh.
And we had a stalking effort from animals that came from the Midwestern states, Michigan and so forth, that were brought into Aberdeen to the proving grounds, and started to increase their population from there. And keep in mind that the deer population has the capacity to double
right.
every single year. One buck plus one doe equals two fawns, totals four. So there's your two plus two, getting four.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a history,
right.
Over the decades. And the deer population continued to grow from the 40s through the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s. And it reached an all-time high in the, the late 90s. And that's when some more liberalization of the bag limits came into play, and even into the 21st century, we now have tremendously liberal bag limits here in Maryland to try and bring that population into what they call carrying capacity that matches the population of the deer to the environment, and then also to bring it into the proper buck to doe ratio, which is way out of whack. It should be close to 1 to 1, 1 to 2, and we're looking at 10 does to one buck in general in central Maryland. The ratios are a little different in the outlying areas, but we have a number of other factors that affect our herd here in Maryland. There are a number of deer diseases that affect our deer herd. None of them transmissible to humans, by the way. One of them that we've had here recently with our weather patterns is called EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, which is spread by the bite of a midge. It occurs when we have a wet spring and a dry summer.
Uh-huh.
The water holes dry up, the creeks dry up, and the deer are concentrated around water sources, which is also where the midges breed. The midge, or no-see-em, will bite the deer. They're like a mosquito to drink the blood, and they will inject their EHD bacteria, which causes a high fever and blows up the lungs of a deer. A deer will go to water to try and stave its fever, and that's why you'll find a lot of these deer carcasses around water sources. And we've had numerous breakouts in the last 10, 15, 20 years across Maryland with these EHD cases. But, 36,000 deer get struck by automobiles just on average every year in Maryland. Hunters take about between 90 and 100,000. Poachers take another 10,000, crop damage, probably another 30,000, and the population continues to grow in certain areas.
Mm. Now, if I, what I did is I called the Highway Patrol or
yep.
the Department of Transportation when
yep.
That happened. Is that the best course of action to take after you've struck a deer, or should
another
number to call?
You can certainly call 911 and they'll send somebody out. But you can call the State Highway Administration will pick up the carcass.
And what did they do with it? See, I'm thinking, is there...
Landfill.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
landfill.
See, if there's somebody better to call, then it could actually be used.
Well, if you find somebody who is willing to take a crushed deer and wade through whatever's available after being struck by an automobile, there's not a lot left. There's a lot of broken bone fragments. The entrails are penetrated. Bacteria spreads very quickly in a roadkill deer. You could possibly salvage the back straps, maybe some of the hindquarters, but in general, unless somebody strikes a deer, takes it home right away, dresses it out, and deals with those injuries, and that trauma on the spot, and salvages what they can, there's usually not much use for it once it's an hour, 2 hours old.
I see.
So, but the Highway Administration has a crew that comes around and picks up those carcasses. Now, if you want to claim the deer, if you want the deer, simply the local law enforcement agency will give you a tag. They all carry, all the police departments carry a claim tag for that deer if you want to take that deer.
Huh. So that's good to know.
Yep.
Hopefully I won't hit anymore.
No, don't do that. No, it's bad for the health of your vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. My shiny new 2011 Ford pickup truck that I bought in June of 2011, we struck one on 70 doing about 70 miles an hour.
Oh, dear.
One night, it was well over a $5,000 bill. So it was...
were you okay?
Oh, yeah. We were fine. We never stopped. I mean, I knew the deer was dead because when I last saw it, it was eye level, basically. It was about the same level as my mirror, and with the amount of the impact, just was right. Tremendous. We went back the next day and found it, and found the remains of what was the front of my truck, and still able to drive it for a while till I got it in the body shop. But yeah, it did a lot of damage. So, but then they can, and here we are again. We'll caution folks, if you know that you're going to strike a deer, I mean, you see it coming, the best thing to do is simply, you can maintain control of your vehicle. And the best way to do that is take your foot off the gas, hang on to the steering wheel, prepare for impact, and drive through the deer. Do not hit your brake, because what will happen is the front of your car will dip.
Right.
You'll take out the deer at the lowest point, around the knees. The deer could potentially flop up on your hood and through your windshield, and you don't want that to happen.
Right.
So, being out in Catonsville and traveling that area every now and then, I know there's some areas out there that are pretty big hot spots. So.
Right. Well, luckily I was driving a large 15-passenger Ford van.
Nah, well, I'm sure the deer didn't feel a thing.
Right. And then the second time it was a little fawn.
So. Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
I know.
It happens. It happens all the time. So. All right, Alice, thank you for the call.
Can I mention one other thing?
Sure.
I did get a phone call from a recording from the NRA, and they said that they were trying to have a silent protest today over at Annapolis at the Capitol, and they just want people to come with signs that say 2014 and roam the halls of the State House and just remind them that
great idea.
We're going to be watching to see how they vote, and they might not be
Of course, and no matter what they do, there's going to be a legal challenge, of course, and I don't know if you heard early on that the court, a appeals court, struck down a lower court ruling on our carry permit law here in Maryland when the lower court had ruled that it was unconstitutional, our reasons for obstructing carry permits in the state. It was unconstitutional, and the anti-gun crowd appealed it to a higher court. The higher court ruled against law-abiding gun owners unanimously, a three-judge panel, and that just happened yesterday. So we got to be ever vigilant on that, too.
Right.
So, Alice, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There she goes. Indeed. Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9. If you need a firearm for turkey hunting,
Well, they've got them. If you need one for self-protection, they've got those, too. You want to be like Joe Biden and buy a shotgun? That's where I'd send you, Clyde Sports Shop. But I would personally buy a pump shotgun. And seems to be plenty of ammo available for those in some, maybe not buckshot, but you could get some pretty good-sized shot. They do carry the Browning Firearms. The great BPS pump shotgun from Browning is available in 12-gauge, and there are 10-gauge models available for those of you who like that. It's a bottom ejection shotgun. It comes with a DuraTouch armor coating to protect the finish, and it comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, which is a great pattern for the woods. And don't forget, if you like high-powered rifles, the X-Bolt is available. If you're a sporting clays or upland shooting enthusiast, the Satori, a 725 Satori shotgun, is a great one. If you're a waterfowler, the Maxis autoloader is the way to go. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. Don't forget, they're your fishing headquarters, too. The fishing hotline is 410-247-FISH. The phone number for Clyde Sports Shop is 410-242-6108. Stop by and check out everything they've got for fishing today or this weekend. They're open 7 days a week. Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108.
The following is a paid announcement.
Governor O'Malley wants to enact laws that burden the right of self-defense for the law-abiding citizen. These restrictions will deny rights to those least able to afford them. The governor openly admits he wants to tax a civil right and make it a profit center for Maryland. The governor proposes laws that violate American values. His laws will not target criminals. His laws will only convert the lawful into criminals. The governor's penalties against law-abiding people will cause the loss of jobs, security clearances, and could even stop you from getting a mortgage. The governor's laws will subject active duty service members to prison time if they cannot register their firearms while serving overseas. They will subject young hunters to prison time for possessing common hunting ammunition. And you'll risk prison for not knowing to register a hunting firearm that the state previously approved you to own. Gun control helps no one. This message brought to you by Maryland citizens. Learn more at MarylandShallIssue.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard, in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Hey, we're back. The Wild Game Dinner that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks has been changed a little bit. We're still going to have a dinner. It's still going to be free. It's still at the Carroll County Ag Center tonight from 6:30 to 8:30. They're going to have a speaker, Dr. Bill Behrens, a former drill instructor with the Marines and a big game hunter. He's going to be giving a speech and an inspirational message. But the health department has said to the folks at the Calvary Bible Church in Westminster, no way, no how are you serving wild game to the public, even if it's free. So the dinner is going to be catered. It's going to be a good time of fellowship. It's going to have real good stuff to eat. We'll be there tonight at 6:30 at the Ag Center. So you must call for RSVP. They need a head count. So that number is 410-440-2510, 410-440-2510. If you'd like to have a free dinner tonight with an inspirational message, spiritual message from the folks at it's an outreach of the Calvary Bible Church in Westminster, Maryland. But do call an RSVP that you're going to be there, 410-440-2510. We will have a feast together, and we'll have a good time. Now, look, Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com is the email address. Love to hear from you during the week or any time, weekend. We'll try to get back to you with if you have a good question. And, you know, we do read all the emails that we get. Like us on Facebook. You can like Maryland Hunting Quarterly. That's the most active Facebook page. Ellis Outdoors LLC. You can like the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and you can like Maryland Loves Crabs. Again, send us your crab recipes, your crab photos. You might appear in the upcoming issue of Maryland Loves Crabs, which we are working on diligently right now to get that out by Memorial Day. So we'd love to hear from you. Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. And that's the story. So, goodness gracious. I think we covered a lot of stuff this morning, didn't we, Pat? Took a lot of nice phone calls from a lot of listeners, and we always like to hear from our listeners. So, there you are. Coming up in the future, we'll be talking about the Havre de Grace Decoy Festival at the Decoy Museum in Havre de Grace, coming up first Saturday of May. It's free admission this year in conjunction with the Havre de Grace 200th anniversary of the War of 1812 this year, and the invasion of Havre de Grace. And the community, whole community, is going to be turning out for that weekend, and the Havre de Grace Decoy Festival is going to be part of that. We'll also be telling you about the Decoy Festival, or the Waterfowl Festival in Southern Maryland coming up in May. And that's going to be a pretty interesting thing. We're going to be welcoming here in the next couple of weeks Battery Warehouse as a new sponsor. And we'll have Tochterman's back, and Fishbones Bait and Tackle will be back as well. So our buddy Bud, who we call for fishing reports and so forth, is recovering from a tough winter. Recovering from a tough winter of some health challenges that he had. So we wish our best to Bud. Hopefully he's getting out of the hospital today, and he'll be back in business, rocking and rolling here as we approach the upcoming rockfish season. So don't forget, our first day of trout season is next Saturday, March 30th, the wide opening day of trout season. And we'll be back next week, God willing, with more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And again, you want to reach out during the week, Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at EllisOutdoors.com. Send us your pictures, even your hunting pictures. We'll put them in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly in a